Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, July the 7th, 2026. 7-7-26. How about that? Coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. And you know, last week we were at the fair every single morning doing this morning show, and every single night doing the evening show, 7 to 8 p.m. I would have taken 70 degrees in the morning any one of those days next week. And here we are, back in the nice air-conditioned studio this week, and it's 70 degrees. So, you know, I guess you can't win them all, and timing is everything. Well, let's kick off the morning with some fun news here. Well, I don't know if this is fun or not. A lot of people have been watching this World Cup, this FIFA thing, and the U.S. Lost last night. I believe they lost to Belgium 4-1. Which ends the USA's hope for winning the World Cup, which was on a lot of people's mind. But I did not realize, see, being at the fair last week and not really paying attention to a lot of what was going on in the world and being July 4th and all of that, I did not realize there was a scandal around the World Cup. I did not realize that the USA's best player had been suspended from playing. And then President Trump, and I hope I have this story right, President Trump called the people at FIFA and asked if he could play, and they said, sure, he can play. And then all the other teams said, well, look at how crooked the United States is, that they're getting to play with this person who was suspended because their president asked to have the person reinstated. Well, you know, I guess that was the drama. I don't know what the true and false is of that, because I wasn't following it. But they lost anyway last night, 4-1. So I guess it didn't turn out the way they wanted. Did anybody know anything about this whole World Cup bit? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, well, I'm already getting a message here this morning from Matt. The U.S. thinks they're good at soccer because we always bully the smaller countries, then get killed by Europe. Well, yeah, but what was this drama going on with the player was supposed to be suspended, the USA's best player? And then the president called and said, well, could you let him play? And they said yes. And this turned into apparently a big drama if you were a World Cup person. Although, as I say, in the end, I don't know that it mattered, because the USA ended up losing last night in the World Cup anyway. 4-1, and I do believe it was to Belgium. Now, let's talk a little bit about city council last night. That was an interesting, it was a long night. Now, I can't say a lot got accomplished last night. I don't, there are some things that got passed along to full council, which that happens. But we were still talking about this decorum bit. And I think if you go back to almost the first time this was talked about, which has now been about 8 weeks ago, I said, I don't think this is going anywhere, because the first time I heard it talked about in committee, it was very apparent to me that Scott Kreider and Ralph Smith, who are two members of that committee, were not comfortable with this legislation and were not comfortable with the reasoning behind this legislation. And that continued last night. Last night, it got to a point where this thing has now been in committee for 8 weeks, and Danny Clark, city councilman at large, who's the other member of this committee, wanted to move it on to city council with a recommendation to approve, and Scott Kreider said, I'm not going to second this. And Ralph Smith said, neither am I. And that was that. So, is it ever actually going to make it to council? Probably not. Unless it gets extremely watered down almost until what it is last night. And City Councilman at Large Aaron Rollins was also there. And he got up last night. He's not a member of that particular committee, but he was asking them what caused this? What is the reason for this? And none of them, well, Kreider, who doesn't seem to want it, certainly couldn't give a reason. Rob Smith didn't seem to really have a reason. And Dan Clark was trying to give a reason, although outside of codifying it into the rules and regulations of the city, that was pretty well it. And once again, it did not go anywhere. And it's one of those things, again, it's too complicated to understand. And the bottom line, as I said, back to week one with this, if the presiding officer does not enforce the rules, you can have 10,000 rules. If the presiding officer does not enforce them, it's not going to mean anything anyway. So that's where decorum went last night, continued to go nowhere. Now, e-bike legislation appeared and was sent on to council. And apparently that's going to be amended and changed and so on and so forth as it goes on to council. But basically this is just to give an outline to police officers about what they can and can't do when it comes to these new devices. Although, I would still like to know how many people have been hurt by these devices. I don't know. Is it a big number? Because for as much as people get up and say in these city council meetings, they say, I was almost hit, or so on and so forth, are there a lot of people being injured? Because if there are, then that's certainly a clear and present danger. But I'm not sure if that's the case or not. I don't know. I really don't know. So maybe one day we'll get a firm answer on that. But that happened with the e-bike legislation. As far as everything else, it was pretty routine stuff. Just things getting passed on to council. Nothing I think would jump out at anybody from last night's meeting. But that's what it was. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It was long, because there seemed to be a lot of conversation about decorum and e-bike legislation. And then there was also a conversation last night about the Dora downtown. I believe the gentleman was a preacher with one of the churches downtown. And he got up last night, and he's been there before, but it had been a couple months since he had been there. And he felt that he had been misled, I guess is the nice way to say it, in regard to things that have happened with the Dora. Now, the Dora is the idea that downtown you can take your alcoholic beverage out of a restaurant into another establishment. Now, you can't take it into another restaurant that serves alcohol, but you could take it into another establishment. And there are certain areas in downtown Marion where you can do that. So, this gentleman is not very happy with that, because the Dora is very close to his church. And also, he feels the reasoning he was given as to why the Dora is that close wasn't exactly true, or why it's such a big area. And also, there was a little bit of discussion last night about how emails are not answered by council members and so on and so forth. Oh, then there was also a discussion last night about this new department that was created by the city in regard to commercial building. And apparently, this is not going so well, according to the contractor who spoke last night. Apparently, there are a lot of contractors who are very angry. Apparently, the person who is running the city building code department is charging quite a bit of money for things that need to be done. And more money than was being charged by the state when the state was controlling it. So there might be trouble in paradise there. Now, the city's only got a one-year contract with this guy. So we'll see where that all goes. But everybody was pretty quiet during that particular conversation. The council people said they wanted to look into it because I believe the one-year review on this department is coming up in September. So, you know, that's where that kind of ended up last night. But that was pretty well the city council meeting. Nothing of great substantiation, I don't think happened. As I said, decorum was left in committee. E-bike legislation was sent on to council to be discussed by full council starting next week. And the start of the discussion on renewing the city building code department, I guess, was started last night by an unhappy contractor who also said he knew several other unhappy contractors in regard to what's going on. Listener out there this morning saying they knew it would cost more. It was supposed to do it with efficiency. Well, apparently, it's costing much more. Nowhere near what the state used to charge before the city took this over. And apparently there's a lot of trouble in paradise there. I'm sure we'll learn more about that as time goes along, but a lot of problem there, apparently, at this particular point. Okay, phone lines are open if anybody'd like to call in, has any thoughts on any of this. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give me a buzz here. We are in the studio today. And yesterday was great. We pretty much had calls the entire program, which is what you really like on a program like this. You like to talk to people about what they think about these things, but that's the rundown. The U.S. Out of the World Cup now, and apparently there was a controversy involving that. Although, as I said, I don't think it matters now because they're out of the World Cup. And that was the rundown of last night's city council meeting. Decorum and e-bike legislation and possibly the city building codes department. 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Bob?
Good. I have it on the down low here about FIFA.
Oh, are you a big fan of this?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, neither am I, so we're in the same boat.
But apparently, our president is going to call the head of FIFA and have last night's score adjusted to something more appropriate for the U.S.
Well, what happened? Was I right in the story that I told?
Yes. Everything I heard you say is what I understand.
So basically, the star player for the U.S. got suspended, and the president called FIFA and said, can he play? And FIFA said, oh, yes, he can play. And this made all the other countries think that the U.S. was very corrupt.
Well, how could they think that?
Well,
but no, I understand that there was some, the scoring was not properly tallied, and they're doing an investigation, and probably adjust the score back to 1-0 for the U.S.
I don't know. This is so bizarre to me that this even matters. Is there that big of an interest in the United States with the World Cup?
I could not say accurately.
I don't. Why is the president so interested in the World Cup? Because they gave him that award?
Yes. I mean, he is the peace politician, you know, and FIFA recognizes him for, his actions, and I'm sure they will concede, that he is right when he says that the scores were not properly tallied.
Now, this is a joke, isn't it? He's not trying to fix the score, is he?
Well, isn't the whole thing a joke?
Well, I don't know. I don't even understand why. Why was the player suspended? Do we even know that?
I have no idea. Did I watch? No. Do I care? No.
No, but it's very bizarre.
I think you need to have Matt investigate that.
Well, I don't understand it. I think it's just very bizarre that this a little soccer game got us this much in trouble.
Well, if not that, what else?
Well, I don't know. How was your fourth?
By what?
Independence Day.
Oh, the fourth. I thought you said fourth. How do you know I was building a fort for protection? No. No, it went very well. I had some free time, and the high heat with the heat domino thing helped me complete the pizza, and I was thinking maybe delivering it tomorrow.
Has it been saved? Because it looked at if squirrels had eaten it.
Well, it's a little gnarly, but I think that's what gives it character.
Oh, so, well, yes, well, we will be here tomorrow night. I believe you delivered it on during the television taping.
Oh, tomorrow night. No, that doesn't work. I have other plans.
You have other plans tomorrow night?
I have other plans.
I didn't realize you were such a busy cosmopolitan. Did you ever figure out the email trouble?
No.
I don't know what that is.
I check my filters and everything. It looks good on this end.
Well, see, I don't think that can be because I get your emails, so they're obviously not being filtered out. It's just when I reply, it says they cannot be received.
Hmm.
And I'm not having this issue with anybody else, so I'm not sure what that is.
Maybe I'll have to give you a different email address.
It's very weird because for a long time, I never had any problems.
Then I'll try a different address and see if that works.
Yeah, try a different address and see if that works. But no, so you're thinking tomorrow morning you're going to drop this off.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited because this year it's got every big signature possible.
And that way you could have it for your evening show, but I certainly couldn't be there for the evening show.
No, we'll show it on the evening show, which will be very good. Do you have any thoughts on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's wedding, the other big news story of the week?
Well, I wish him the best.
Yeah, but what do you think about the wedding? The big hoopla?
Well, apparently my invitation got lost in the mail, so I have to complain about the postal system there, It might show up next week or something like that, way too late. I couldn't attend. I won't have to ask for my gravy boat to have them send it back to me.
Well, I got invited. I was just busy.
Well, you should have put me down as a plus one or something.
Well, it's one of those things. There was something else I wanted to say here. How do you feel about decorum on city council? 8 weeks now, and they can't get it out of committee.
Well, I think it makes sense that they can't get it out of committee, because if you don't have it to begin with, why would new rules change anything?
I still don't understand.
Decorum is the way you act. If you're not going to act right, rules aren't going to restrict you.
Well, I still don't understand it because, as I've said many times, you could have 5,000 rules, and if the presiding officer does not enforce them, it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
So I don't understand why this is even a thing, why it came up. It's very odd. And last night it seemingly came to a head because the person who seemed to be pushing it the hardest, Danny Clark, couldn't even come up with a really good reason as to why it needed to be done. So here we are.
I mean, maybe he came to his senses. I don't know. I don't know that much about the local politics there, so I don't want to comment too heavily. But if you don't have the corn to begin with, you're not going to have it by passing rules.
No, I would guess not. So, well, Bob, I appreciate you filling me in here on the World Cup, but I did not realize it was this big a drama.
Well, you have to be in the right place at the right time.
That's right. You got to know what's going on. Well, thanks, Bob.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Well, apparently our pizza might be delivered tomorrow morning, our anniversary autographed pizza from the big 12th anniversary back in the beginning of June, and we certainly thank Bob Welsh for that. All right, well, does anybody else have anything to say here this morning? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you have anything to say in regard to the World Cup over the United States being knocked out at this point, isn't it funny that even when a joke is said on this program, I have to say, well, is that really true? Because you don't know anymore, because half of this stuff sounds like it would be a joke, but I thought the thing about the player being suspended and the president calling FIFA and saying, could the player play? Well, I thought that was a joke. Well, apparently that was not a joke. So there you go. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Last night's meeting, we're going to beat the decorum horse to death for a second. I think Danny Clark's behavior when he didn't get the second, because, you know, you said he was the one that made the motion to pass it on, and when no one would second it, he said, fine, I rescind my motion, and I, you know, something along the lines of, let's just table it, and if you want a free-for-all, then just, that's fine by me, or something along, you know. Now, the guy that's preaching decorum to the choir, shouldn't he show a little decorum?
Well, you know what's odd, and like I said, it's the great thing about tape. If you go back to the first time 8 weeks ago that this appeared on the agenda.
This appeared on the agenda shortly after the interaction with him and I and Sean Barr. Now, if you go back to what Phil said last night, Phil even said, this started after you called Naomi names. He said, there's no audio of that.
Right. But
there's no audio.
But from the first time this was read in that particular committee, it was very apparent to me that Kreider and Smith had no intention of passing the legislation that was before.
I don't know, because Kreider at first was like, he was talking about that piece of legislation, that Montgomery whatever, and basically all that says is that city council does have the legal right to limit time, manner, and place as far as your speech. You're not, you know, you. They have the legal right to do that. They can say that we can only speak for 3 minutes. That's not the dispute. It should they. So Kreider at first seemed like he might have been on board with that. Then I think as time progressed, he realized, it takes longer than 3 minutes to have these conversations.
Well, here's what I remember happening. The first meeting, Ralph Smith was out sick. So the first meeting, you just had
Dan. It was a conversation.
Right.
Yes.
And it was just a conversation. And I think Kreider thought, well, yes, I think this could be a good idea, but we're not going to do anything.
It was worth discussing.
It was just a discussing.
Mm-hmm.
But the first meeting that Ralph Smith came back, I remember Ralph having a lot of problem with the way it was written. And I remember him wanting to change a lot of things. And that's also the first time that I saw Kreider start to say, well, this is very cumbersome, and who's going to do what, and how are we going to do this? And from that moment on, that's what it's been.
Well, at one point, Ralph Smith did have us being escorted out and being arrested, because, I got him to admit to those things before I went up to federal court. I got them to admit to quite a few things, and their tone has softened. Remember after what Ralph Smith said due to recent developments? Well, that was 3 days after or 4 days after I had gone to court in Cleveland with them. And due to recent developments, his attitude certainly has changed. That said, I gave Ralph Smith the credit, and I will give him the credit now, which, dear God, I never thought I'd be doing. But he has changed in his approach to governance.
This is something I said a long time ago.
And I appreciate that.
Well, people can take this for what it's worth. But I have said that, I said this probably 2 years ago, that I believe we've got two P's here. We've got personal and we've got politics. And I think these two things are starting to bleed together, where we're taking things very personal that are political. Okay, Well, like, for example...
That's like Danny Clark last night. He took what happened entirely too personally. Look at this, Scott. Someone told me, they commented it publicly on my post, that Danny Clark was asking to be escorted to his vehicle last night because he was fearful. Now, what in God's name happened last night that would have made him fearful?
Well, see, that's weird, though, because he was in his car before I was, and I was out pretty early.
Yeah, and I was in my car before you were, because I watched you get into your car.
Right, so, I mean, he was out of there pretty quick, so I don't know who in the world...
But, I mean, what happened that would put any reasonable person in fear last night? I mean, the most explosive thing that happened, in my opinion, was the bit with the building department. And, I mean, that man wasn't violent or threatening, or he was upset, but he was had his composure about him.
I don't know. I guess you would have to ask Mr. Clark about that. But what I'm saying, what I want to make a point here
but
to
I
say...
But, I mean, that's how thin-skinned he is, Scott. That, as you just said, the personal versus political. That whatever happened last night that neither you nor I can point to that would put a reasonable person in fear, something last night happened to him that put him in fear.
Well, here's the thing, and I want to bring this to Ralph Smith.
Should he be a public official, though? I mean, if that whatever was said last night scared him to the point he needed escorted to his vehicle, he might want to, like, rethink being a city council person. But yes, please, Ralph Smith.
Yeah, Ralph Smith. Okay, so this is long before the meetings even started last night. And I've always had nice interactions with Ralph Smith in the hallway. But last night, Ralph Smith, I was there alone last night, and I was sitting in the front row, and of course there was not a big crowd, as there never is. And Ralph came in and sat down in the row behind me. He was alone last night when he came in. He came and sat down behind me, and we had the nicest, most cordial conversation probably I've ever had with him. And we were talking about all kinds of things. And this is not a man who has bad intentions. This is not a man who does not study his legislation.
Scott, last year, that same man, I told someone else this is how much of a change Ralph Smith has done. Last year, that same man accused me of felony intimidation of a public official because I raised my voice while I was speaking. And I didn't yell, I didn't scream, I didn't curse, I didn't call names. I just raised my voice like this, or inflection.
Right.
And he accused me of felony-level intimidation.
Well,
so that's how far Ralph Smith has came.
Well, but Ralph is also the guy who introduced the legislation to change wording to not hurt the mayor's feelings.
Yes, because he didn't want to hurt the mayor's feelings.
Right.
Yes.
But, now, I believe both things can still be true. I don't believe Ralph Smith has had some kind of conversion. I believe Ralph Smith realizes he's representing the Third Ward. I believe over time you can start
learning how to govern.
Well, I think you can start to disagree with things that are being done. And I think a big turning point, if you go back and really look at Ralph Smith's turning point, I think it happened when the city went into financial crisis. I think that bothered him. I think that bothers him a lot. And I think that's made him rethink a lot of the positions that he might have had before that.
I will honestly tell you now that I agree with you when you say that he has, in his mind, he really does have the best intentions. And I think of the people up there, he is one of the ones that immerses himself in the legislation and the learning and the questions and the things that surround it. Now, I would still prefer that Jason Schauber be sitting up there. However, Ralph Smith is I don't want to say rising star, but he's the secret surprise, the silent surprise. I'll have to come up with something.
Well,
he's the sleeper. How's that?
Well, I'll tell you what, for as bad as the moment was, and I said it at the time, when he wanted to change the wording of that legislation to not hurt the mayor's feelings, which is pretty well what he said that night out loud. I mean, it wasn't any secret. To last night, because when Clark wanted to pass that legislation, we knew Kreider was a definite no, and he said, I'm not going to second it. And Ralph Smith looked at Danny Clark and said, neither am I. And that's a moment, because he could have.
Yeah.
And sent it on to council, and it may have died in council, who knows. But Ralph Smith held his temper, he held his composure, and he knew...
He listened.
Well, he stood behind, I think, what he believed, that
yes.
It was not in a proper form.
And I believe that his mind has changed in front of us. He has evolved, his position has evolved in front of us, and I did not believe with him that was anything that would ever happen.
Well, that's why I always say that in the hallway, you learn a lot about people. During those interactions, hello, how you doing, what's new, so on and so forth. And Ralph has always been that type of a cordial guy. Most of them are. There are very few that aren't. And when that's your personality, I believe in the beginning, a lot of times you might be persuaded to one thing or another because you're new. But I believe over time, your personality will come out.
He has come into his own as a representative.
Right, and I also...
I honestly believe now he has his own opinion. I did not believe that when he first joined council. I believe now that he forms and makes his own decisions.
Yes, I think there are a lot of people. I think Thad Smith has had that same conversion to a certain degree.
Yes.
I think that certainly...
Rollins thinks for himself.
Rollins, Kreider.
Yes.
So right there, that's nearly half of council right there.
Yes.
So
they're evolving before our eyes.
Well,
not Rollins so much or Kreider, but you know what? Things are changing that I didn't expect to happen, and that's a good thing.
Right, and I also...
Wait a minute, but for the people listening, we got to get off the state quorum crap for a minute. The 2022 reconciliations are done.
Yes.
And they have been turned over, because this is big news, Spears, and they have been turned over to Clark Schaefer Hackett, which is the company that will be performing the audits. We are expected to have that audit, they said, by the end of July, maybe early August.
I think that's what they said, within a month.
You know, I thought that was ironic that coincides with the same time that we're told we will probably hear something from the state. Right around the time that audit comes in, it would be the time we get a yes or no on our financial plan, which is what I think I predicted.
Well, I think that's interesting. I think we'll see if that comes back by the end of July. You know, the reason for not getting the answer from the state was vacations last night. But I...
Have they been on vacation since April?
Well, that's what I didn't understand. I thought that was kind of a strange answer to give. But,
They couldn't say that we're waiting on the 2022 audit. Naomi Craig was right. They don't want to say that in a city council meeting.
Well, I'll tell you who was very...
I think those things will come out right around the same time.
Well, I'll tell you, I thought the most interesting thing last night was the whole bit about the building codes. Oh, the building codes. Jeez.
We were hoodwinked, swindled. Thad Smith got up and he went out to speak to Mr. Roush, and Mr. Roush stopped and spoke to me for a minute. I said, well, that's certainly not what we were told.
Well, so did Mr. Smith, by the way.
Well, Ralph Smith?
Yeah, he was out in the hallway.
Well, he said extortion. He used the word extortion. For the people that weren't there or didn't watch these building permits, we decided to go with Mike Neff's buddy so Luke Henry could get his projects moved along faster. And we were told this would be, cost neutral or minimal increase in cost.
Wasn't the mayor for this? Wasn't this a Bodine thing?
Yeah, this was a Bodine thing. It was just going to revolutionize everything. And everybody was going to be getting work done so much faster and so much cheaper and just progress. Well, Dave Roush from, I think he has heating and air conditioning, he was up there last night and he was talking about, he has $4,000 in a project that he's doing, his own project, so it's not for anyone else. This is money that he's eating himself. He has $4,000 in a project applying for permits and he doesn't even have one permit yet. And he was talking about how this guy, who is friends with Mike Neff, and Mike Neff let him in, he's talking about how he'll bill people. He's overbilled. The first time he'll look at your plans for 4 hours, and he'll say no. He won't tell you what's wrong with your plans. If you pay him an extra $750, he'll tell you what's wrong with your plans. And then he'll bill you for 12 hours to tell you whether those plans are good or not. I mean, this guy's making money hand over fist. Roush, who's a very well-respected businessman in Marion, said he does business in 10 counties, and he said he's not seen fees like this in any of them.
Well,
he said a normal project that might be $3,000 is now $8,000 to $10,000 in fees. He said the guy's telling him a 45-day turnaround. He said by state law, after 30 days, he can do whatever he wants to. So why would he wait 45 days, but then the guy will tell you, well, if you want to throw me an extra $1,000, I'll be able to expedite that for you. And Ralph Smith said, that sounds like extortion.
Well, the thing of it is that this was one of those things, once again, where, like the night bus, in which people said, boy, doesn't this sound great. And any time that happens, you got to look at how long the city's been around. And I'm not saying new ideas are not great. But when something that big comes about, you have to wonder, if it is that great, why wasn't it done before? Because the councils and the administrations before you aren't idiots. If it's that much more efficient and going to save you money, then why have they not done it? And I think we're finding that out with the night bus. And I found that out with the night bus. And I think we're finding that out with this codes department.
Well, it's a hot mess. And it sounds like a whole bunch of contractors aren't happy. And a lot of expense is getting passed on to the people, you know, the people that are buying their services, that consumer, I guess, is what you would call them. But, you know, it's like I leaned back and told Phil last night, I said, what does Luke Henry care? He gets grant money to pay for everything. So if he's got an extra $10,000 wrapped up in a project, it's tax money.
Why do people have it in for him? I mean, I've seen
he gets absolutely, just like this building code thing. This building code thing was all him. He went up for 15 minutes and talked about it. He brought people from Columbus to talk about it. This was all him. And now we've got long-term contractors in this county, well-established business people that are pissed. And their work is getting delayed. They're eating costs because this man has such exorbitant fees. It is the same price if you build something new or if you replace it. So my husband said, for example, you want to put in a new outlet, all right, or you want to replace an outlet. You're going to pay him the same amount of money. That's not right. That's not fair. That's not how that should work. But that's the way he's got it set up. And you know what? It works for Luke Henry.
Well,
so,
yeah, but I guess the point is,
the whole department for Luke Henry, everything worked fine until Luke Henry went up there with his buddy Bodine and got a whole building department set up for him, and it just happened to screw every other person in the county. Luke Henry's got sidewalks. Luke Henry's, he gets whatever he wants. Be damned. You know, we had the man up there last night from the church again with Fedora. The Dora is mostly him. Hell, his wife owns the toy store, and they let people in there with Dora drinks. You know.
You know, I didn't understand that. Of all the places downtown that you would mention, well, but I mean, is that where you take your drink into the toy store?
Well, apparently, they don't mind. I have a big time. I just do not go downtown. I don't frequent downtown. I don't buy things downtown. But one day I was out walking, and I know she has unique toys and things like that, and I thought, okay, you know, Naomi, maybe just go in there and see, or maybe you'll see something you like, and you can order it on Amazon or whatever. And I saw the sign as I'm getting ready to pull the handle, the sticker, that was Love Your City, and next to it was Dora Drinks, Welcome Here. And I was like, I'm not even going in. Drink is welcome in a children's toy store?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know that it's a children's toy store because I've never been down there. And
it's a toy store.
Okay. But I think this is probably not in the toy store vein. My understanding that like KB Toys would have been where kids go to
get
their toys.
You're going in there and you're buying like preschool little Einstein learning toys. It's like a high-end Walmart toy section.
Well, I guess here's my point that I want to make. It does not shock me that if you're a downtown business that you would say Dora Drinks Welcome, because you're not selling alcohol, and if people are walking around with alcohol, you probably do still want them to come in. And, you know, if the kid is with you and you're already drinking, I don't think it matters if
you're... Come on, honey, let's go get you a toy before I strap you into your car seat and drive you home.
Well, I mean... She can't control if they're drinking or not. And I'm sure these kids have seen their parents take a drink at dinner. But the point...
I mean, just the optics of it.
Well, yeah, but that... I guess my point is, I don't think
I would want to walk in there with my child into a toy store. and people be drinking. Not at a toy store. Like, if I'm taking my kids somewhere where I know there's going to be alcohol, that's one thing.
Well,
I would not expect alcohol to be at a toy store.
I would expect if you're a downtown business that does not deal in alcohol, you would say, okay, I'm not going to stop you from coming in here. I'm not going to turn down your business just because you have alcohol. Because you know
did
what?
Did you ever have the occasion to go to Toys R Us? I don't know.
Okay.
Now, I understand why Toys R Us would have served drinks. That would have made sense. All the screaming kids and everything else, you know?
Do you know the Toys R Us song?
I don't want to grow up because I'm a Toys R Us kid.
Yeah, but there was a whole song there. I mean, it was a big thing.
I don't want to grow up because if I did, I wouldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
Yeah.
That's all I remember. I think I just had a flashback. But no, I don't find it appropriate. It's my opinion. But that's their business. And that is their business, and they can do whatever they like. However, back to him. If he says he wants it, if he says jump, I mean, they're already jumping, and then they say, is this high enough? How high? Do we need to jump higher for you?
But isn't that the politicians? I mean, what?
Yes.
I mean,
back-end parking, angled parking, parking places eliminated, parking places added, tables added. I mean, I was walking past the Scherzer Park the other day, and there's whipped ice cream.
Founders Park.
There's Witt's ice cream cups laying all over the ground. I took pictures of them. You know, thanks. And then you can go ahead and throw those in the city-provided trash cans so our city-provided labor can go and pick those up and we can pay for it on the taxpayer dime on the sidewalks that you filled in because there used to be parking places there and you needed a place to put your table. Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't end with him. If he asks for it, he gets it.
Yeah, but
and
it doesn't.
Finally, thank God, finally, we're getting a path on Leader Street, and let's end it on a good note, Spears. Leapin got their grant for their HVAC.
Yes, that's good. That's good. But I would just, it does not surprise me that a business person would lobby politicians. It happens all the time. You've got to wonder why these politicians are so willing to accept it.
That's a good question. Because as much money as we've given him and as many incentives and grants and forgivenesses and this and that and the other, what does downtown have to show?
But I mean, and I don't know him at all. I don't even know that I've ever spoken to him.
Oh, wait a minute. Another big issue I have with him is how much he rents places for. He is gentrifying Marion. He's buying these places up, and he's charging an exorbitant amount of rent. $1,500, $1,600, $1,700 for two bedroom units. People can't afford that. I have a problem with that.
Well, like I say, I don't know that I've ever had a conversation with him. I mean, I've seen him.
Me either.
That's about it. But I don't know that he is doing anything else that anybody else would not do. And
I didn't say that he was. I mean, if he can work, if it works for him, good for him. It'd be nice if it worked for the rest of us.
Well, and again, I guess we have to wonder why it does and why it doesn't.
Well, I see his name as a donor on a lot of these people's campaigns, so that might have something to do with it.
Well, that's money in politics.
Yeah, there it is.
That's how it goes. All right.
I think if I write a big enough donation, they'll finally give us the results of this.
Oh, yeah, well, now that's... hey, that's an interesting point. You said you got your check.
No, I got mailed yesterday.
Got mailed, but I mean, it's...
Yep.
Are you going to let us know?
I have to sign the paperwork when it gets here that I received it.
Well,
and then I'll be allowed to talk.
It's interesting. It's an interesting thing.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because I will say this, they took until the absolute last day to take the steps that they needed to take. I mean, last day by court order.
Oh, by the city.
By the federal, yeah, the city.
Yeah.
The city did their very last minute of the very last day, is the way they've done everything this whole case.
Well, that's they're probably not very happy.
We need to, I know it's time to go, but we really need to request how much the city spent fighting me, because I'm guessing it's well over $100,000. So.
Well, that's a lot of dough.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of dough. Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye, Scott.
Bye-bye. All right, we'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere.
Had you ever seen a primary like that in your life?
You mean Abraham Lincoln?
You weren't there for that one. You weren't there for